Welcome to the Open House podcast site, available at openhousecommunity.com.au.
Gary Barkalow has dedicated his life to helping the rest of us answer a perplexing question in ours. What is our calling? What were we made to do? Prior to founding Noble Heart Ministries and writing It's Your Call, Gary has performed around the world as a gymnast, then reaching out to fellow athletes through Campus Crusade, later in staff development for Focus on the Family. Gary Barkalow, welcome to Open House. What is the difference between a job, a career, and a calling?
Well, the distinction is incredibly important. A person's calling is the effect of their life. God has given everyone a certain effect that they bring to this world that's needed. A career is simply something that we take on to help us as a provider for our family, for ourselves, and so on. Now, if those two things can come together closely, that's really good, where we bring the effect of our life, and it's needed in this place that we often call a job that provides the finances we need. But they really are separate. And often when people put those two things together, a career, and then try to figure out their calling, they're trying to, in a sense, monetize the effect of their life. And sometimes that's really not helpful to discern what our calling really is.
So in essence, it would be a happy coincidence, but it's possible to live a fulsome, productive life with both a calling and a career that are quite differentiated.
Yeah, and that's really important to know, because the two sides of this is, if a person tries to live out their calling in their job, they will get very frustrated, because our life, which is our calling, is far bigger than any one job, and jobs change. And besides that, our calling isn't limited to the 8-hour day or however long a job is. It's not limited to that. It's your entire life, 24/7. And so we have to see our calling as something bigger than our job. But hopefully we are also bringing our calling to our job. We all strive to find a title, a job description, a position when we're looking for our calling. And what's not helpful about that is, if I have a certain type of job right now, let's just say it's called manager or teacher or something, and I lose that job, I have to leave it for some reason, if I think that's my calling, I'm going to look for another job or position or place that has the same label, and I might not be able to find it. The difference is, if I realize that my calling is the effect I bring, and the reason I love teaching is, for instance, I love to bring clarity to something that's confusing. Now, I can do that anywhere with any title on that, even if it's not called teacher. But when we hold on to a title and that's all we look for, it's very hard then and frustrating to find our next place in our calling. The first place you have to look is at your heart. Who we are, what we're created to do, is written in our heart in the form of our desires. So the really good news is that what we are supposed to do is what we most want to do. Now, working through that landmine field of desires, you have to be discerning. You have to understand how that works. But you start there with desire. What is it that makes you come alive? What are you compelled to do in almost any situation? What's been true your entire life, pretty much? It's been there. It's looked different, but at its essence, it's the same thing. So first you go to desire. You really have to look there, because that's how God starts to write that into our life. The other thing that's incredibly important are the eyes of others, because in many ways we are too close for clarity, right? We live in our own life.
Yeah.
And so what we exceptionally bring to this world is our ordinary. We just think because we can do it, everybody can do it. Because we see this way, everybody sees this way, and so on. It really takes the eyes of others to say, you know, Gary, I didn't see what you just saw. I didn't hear what you just noticed. I can't do what you do. And it's through the observations of others that we think, maybe that is unique. So we really need that as well.
What are the pitfalls that you encountered along the way in your discovering your calling, or that you've seen in others? What are the barriers, the obstacles that sometimes we need to climb over on the way to discovering our calling?
Yeah. Well, first of all, let me throw out this phrase, and it's similar to what you brought up in the beginning, is the difference between calling and career. There is also a difference between calling and competency. Because everyone listening to this, we're all competent people. We can learn things. We can pick up skills and understandings. And so as we do that, we can confuse who we are and what we uniquely bring to this world with something that we've simply acquired over time. And the way we know it's not us is after a time of doing that, you just don't want to do it anymore. You're tired of it. You're bored with it. You resent that you actually picked up this skill because it's not who you are. And so one, we have to be careful with competency. We have to be able to discern, yes, I can do this, but this is not what, as using a scripture that Paul uses, that's not what is so powerfully working in me. So you have to understand what powerfully works in you. What are you compelled to do? I tell people that calling is something you have to turn off, not on. Because the skills that we pick up in competency, like, you know, how to engage a person in conversation or how to engage a room or how to manage something, you have to turn those on at certain times, those skills. But calling, who you are, your effect is always on. And what you have to learn is when not to bring it on, when to say, no, that's not what this moment is about. I shouldn't say anything at this point with what I'm seeing or hearing. So your calling is always on. The other thing is that because calling is written on our heart in the form of our desires, we have to be aware of desires and where they come from. Because there are some very strong things we experience as desire that may actually come from not a good place. You know, one time we were really hurt because we were ignored. And so now our strongest desire is always to dominate and to speak up and take over.
To be noticed, yes.
To be noticed.
Yeah.
And we think that's our calling, you know, to dominate.
But that doesn't make us a leader, does it, for
exactly,
instance?
Not at all. And everyone else knows you're not a leader. And they know that that's probably not your calling, but you think it is because it's such a strong emotion. So you have to discern emotions and what's authentic and real and good and what's coming from a different place.
You speak of tensions that are at play in finding and living our calling. And I was fascinated with the concepts of being aggressive versus waiting. How do we differentiate between what is a calling versus what is impetuosity, for instance?
Yeah, that is quite the question, because there's a very fine line between being aggressive and just waiting on God. And the reason that's so hard is because we can be aggressive, striving to make something happen that God may not be up to, but we have other motives to say, I got to do it now. You know, on the other hand, there are people that say, well, I'm just waiting on God to tell me if I should do this now. And really what they're doing is living in procrastination, right? They're afraid to move. And so I think the answer to that, and I find it's hard in my own life, to be honest, is to go back and really take a look at my heart and say, okay, what's going on in me? And so I'm not actually moving forward on this idea or this thing I should be offering because really I'm just afraid. I'm afraid if I do, someone's going to come back and say, did I ask your opinion? Or, you know, you're not valued here. Is that why I'm holding back? Or am I sincerely saying, God, is this needed now? And the other hand, if I try to make things happen all the time, let's say I'm just a very much of a doer person, it may not be the prompting of God in the right moment. It's just that that's all I know to do is to take over and make things happen. So you really kind of have to go back to your heart and see what's going on there. And personally, I think it's asking God, right now, can you help expose the motives of my heart? Because they're hard to discern.
What does a person who's found their calling look like?
Well, what I find is there is an excitement, a passion in their life because they know what they are to bring to this world. And as they offer it, whether those are words or it's something they can make or do, as they offer it, there is this sense of life that they're living in. And so there tends to be a passion and excitement about their life. And I'm not talking about happy and no worries in the world and no concerns. But first of all, there is a driving passion. And they can look at obstacles in front of them, which you brought up earlier, and they can realize the obstacles are something that I have to overcome, but it's for something good. It's not just to survive, but it's for the next thing that my life is about and how I offer it. It's also for the strengthening of my heart, because too many times we see obstacles as something that's actually going to detract from our strength and our confidence. And I think God is saying, no, actually, this is part of your training, because what you will need to do a month from now or a year from now will require you to be a different person than you are today. And so obstacles are just training. And so I find this persistence, you know, to go through obstacles because they know there's more for them to offer and they want to offer more. It's the whole parable about the seed and the sower, right? For the good man with the good noble heart hears the word, retains it, and through perseverance produces a crop 30, 60, and 100-fold. So there's a whole different way to attack life that way.
What are the broad subsections of callings that we might perhaps lean toward or explore?
Yeah, that is such a good question. I mean, that's why I started off with this idea that your calling is your effect, the effect that you bring to this world. And you know, I have to say right off, a lot of times that just does not communicate to people. But we all have an effect. Now, sometimes it's not a good effect. We have sides to us that's not a good effect, but we have this weightiness, this brilliance to our life. Now, that's very broad. It's not quite answering your question yet. But I guess I would answer it this way. When you look at the life of Jesus, it says that he was prophet, priest, and king, that he had a prophetic side to his life, he had a priestly side, and he had a kingly side. So if we want to look for a category, we might look at that, since we are being conformed to his image. And some of us are more kingly in our effect, right? We look at a situation and we think, I know how this would work better. I know what we need to put in place so that everybody can bring their gifting and who they are to this job, this organization, this place, and make it work better. That's very kingly. There are some people that have very priestly gifts, which means they're always concerned about how are people doing, to put this out of the church box for a second.
Yeah.
How are people doing? Are they working well together? How is that individual doing? How can I create an environment so their heart, their very personality works here? That's a priestly kind of an effect, if you will. And then there's a prophetic side. That tends to be the person who can almost step outside of the culture, whether it's the culture in their country or the culture in their work. And they can see what is wrong with the culture that no one else can see because they live in it. And they can call out and say, do you realize that, for instance, there is a spirit of fear, there's a culture of fear here, and no one's able to really offer who they are. And they have the courage to see it and call it out. That's very prophetic in a way. And so you really can put people's effects into those three categories generally: a prophetic type of an effect, a kingly type of an effect, and a priestly type of an effect. So that would be one way. Now, I really don't ever teach on and speak of spiritual gifts for this one reason, because we all want a label,
yeah,
right? And so
absolutely.
If you give me a label and I like it, yeah, I attach it to me and I don't think any further about it anymore.
Okay.
And so that's why I don't really talk about those, though you can take any effect that we get to, which is really core in our life, and you can probably find a spiritual gift and say, oh, it's just like that. That would be my answer to that.
What are the health benefits, the spiritual and emotional health benefits of a community that's powered by people who have found their calling?
Well, and I would nuance what you said as people who are finding their calling and finding out more and more and walking more deeply.
Yeah.
So here's what I'd say. As a community of people understand that they carry a certain weightiness to their life. In fact, Scripture talks about we all have a glory to our life, an aspect of God's life in us. And glory literally means a weightiness, a brilliance, a splendor, a beauty, a strength. As a community realizes that we all carry something and it's needed, we encourage the other person to discover more of it, to hone it, and to offer it. Versus what happens often in communities are there are a few dominant people, and they live in a way that they say, now, I'm the gifted person. I have something weighty and needed to bring, and you all simply support me in it. You help me offer it well, but you don't really have anything beyond that to offer. But in a healthy community, we'd be able to look at each other and say, this is what you offer. I see it, and I need it. And what can I do to help you offer that better and discover more? And then it would happen back and forth. That would be a beautiful community where we all realize we all have something very significant that we carry and that the world needs, and we would be helping each other find it and offer it.
Gary Barkalow, it's been a fascinating conversation. Thank you so much for your time.
Oh, you're welcome. This has been great doing this. And I can tell that you are living in the weightiness, the glory, the brilliance of your life in this, because your viewers can't see it, but just the glimmer in your eye is remarkable.
Thank you so much.
You're
Have
welcome.
A great day.
Thanks.
We hope you enjoyed this Open House podcast. To hear more from Open House, visit openhousecommunity.com.au.